All right, Kendra.
Tyler.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, this is the Business Blast podcast, as you know.
Okay.
So, I want to know, first, I want to know about Kendra Lust before porn.
Oh, boy.
Growing up.
Growing up, yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay. From what part, like, do you want me to start from?
From when you were, like, all right, let's actually go from... like middle school.
Okay.
And then when did you realize from middle school to when you realized you were going to do porn?
Oh my gosh. I feel like.
Maybe that's a long.
Yeah, it is, right? No, I mean. Okay, so middle school, I was tomboy.
Okay.
I was a late bloomer. I didn't care much I played sports. I was very competitive, so I always wanted to beat the boys and could beat the boys at some things. I remember getting a bloody lip one day because I challenged one of the boys in basketball because I thought it was better. He beat me, but I had to do it because he was a little shit anyway. He knows who he is, Anthony Lopez.
He's Anthony? In
Portland. Yeah, he's in Portland right now doing some movie stuff and, producing anyway. So anyway, so that was kind of me in middle school. High school, I still played sports, but I was... I don't know. I mean, I was I don't want to say normal because there's like no such thing as normal. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I experimented with alcohol, but I never did drugs. It was never like my thing. I never got into anything. Like I smoked weed 3 times and I was like, nah, not for me.
Only three.
I ate like a whole sub. I'm like, clearly not for me. I tuned a sub from Subway. I was like, okay, this isn't for me. You know, and I remember driving home like after the front, I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't be driving. Oh my God. Green means go, red means stop. I'm like, this is fucked up. Like, no way do I want to do this. So I didn't like that feeling of not having control.
Yeah.
Does that make me a control freak? I don't know. But I just...
No, I agree. I don't actually really like that either.
I don't, I never really got into drugs. You know, I made the honor roll. I would play, like I said, my sports. I did really well at sports. I was captain of my basketball team. I played varsity my freshman year. I was homecoming queen. I mean, so it was like...
Homecoming queen.
I know,
that's
right?
Pretty significant. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, I kind of felt guilty because I won freshman princess, which was cool. I'm like, oh, cool, I'm a freshman. And then I won junior princess. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then homecoming. So I kind of felt like, fuck, excuse my language. Am I allowed to swear?
No, you're allowed to swear. Anything you want. Yeah. This is all
okay,
free.
Okay, because I'm like, oh, God. You know, you kind of feel like you want to give other people a chance, you know, whatever. But there's prom queen and stuff. Whatever. But I think, like, during high school, I was kind of like, I didn't necessarily identify with a group. Like, I wasn't like... a burnout. I wasn't, with the preppy girls or a cheerleader. I just kind of like got along with mostly everybody.
Okay.
You know, I did have a few feisty years where I engaged in some fighting a little bit. So I was very feisty. So I just didn't take people's crap. I had an attitude and chip on my shoulder for some reason for a while. And, you know, and then finally, you know, a girl like three grades older than me came to my house and she's like, you better, you know, basically come outside. And I was like, okay, I'll be out in 5 minutes. I knew I was getting my butt beat. Like, she had all brothers. Yeah. I threw my hair up in a ponytail. My dad's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'll be back. And I knew I was getting, like, she's going to beat the hell out of me. But I ran my mouth off to her at school, and I deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I decided probably shouldn't be running my mouth. So I kind of got my attitude in check after, you know, cut no, she's sitting on me. Beating the shit out of me. I was like, okay, but I want to calm down. So that was about that time where I realized I was in 10th grade, that I needed to be more like a lady. And the guy I was dating, my husband now, drove by.
No way.
And
this is your husband now?
Yeah, same
wow,
guy.
Wow, this is a really cool story. So, now. We need to get deeper into that.
So he's driving by and he sees me because I'm in front of my house just getting my ass beat. And he calls me and he's like, we're not going to be dating if you're going to be fighting. Like, that's not ladylike and that's not cool. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I kind of got my ass beat. He's like, well, you deserved it. And like, you know, basically you ran your mouth and it is what it is. So it kind of taught me a lesson, you know, kind of sometimes your opinion doesn't matter. And if you're going to voice your opinion, you better be able to back it up kind of, you know? So anyway, make a long story short. So that was kind of a story. So I was like, yeah, I guess I should. So from then on, I was, ladylike and, I kind of got things in check. So
got
anyway, so that was high school. And then I met my husband in high school. I met him in, I was in, well, we knew each other since I was 8 years old. So we went to the same elementary, middle school, high school, and part of college.
That's love.
It's crazy.
I love that.
Yeah, that's it's cool. I mean, but we didn't really, like, notice each other much back then. Like, it was just kind of like, okay. And then when I played basketball, he would be the, like, the scorekeeper. So he'd say, hey, you know, start driving to your left. And he'd give me, like, tips. It's like, okay, you know, whatever, you're right. And he was really good at sports, too. So we kind of, like, just... whatever. I was in 10th grade, he was 11th, he asked me out, and I was like, okay, yeah, let's hang out. So we started dating then, and been together. Awesome. We had 3 years of separation, like the whole, since I was in 10th grade, three years. And that was kind of like after I graduated high school, I went to college, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, you graduated a year before me, like,
yeah,
get your shit together. Like, go to school, get a trade, do something. Like, I don't care what you do, but have a little ambition. So I had to kind of like, he wasn't very motivated at that time. So I kind of like sparked that in him. And then, you know, I feel like, not that I told him what to do, but I just wanted him to kind of like get motivated. So he did. And he went on to be police officer, excellent officer for City of Detroit for many, many years. Yeah, so that was kind of, I don't know, our story. I went to nursing school.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my childhood was pretty, like, my parents were pretty normal. Like, people think, like, you were, like, abused. Your dad was, you know, my dad was awesome. Like, he did all of our, like, our sports with us. Like, he taught me how to play basketball. My dad was, like, Clark Griswold. We went on family vacations. That was my dad. I'm, like, I remember my sister and I look at each other and be, like, oh, my God, here's another damn field trip. We're going to Washington, D.C. This is going to be great. But every year he made it a point to do a family vacation. So it was like pretty normal. Both my parents worked. I mean, I don't know. That was just kind of like, that was me. I was just very much a tomboy for a very long time.
Okay. So technically, you've been, like, you knew this person since 8 years old.
Yeah. They're elementary. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so let me ask about this. So what was the conversation when you got into
porn? Yeah, I never answered your question.
You already know. So it's like, because I feel, actually, I don't know. I've never dated a porn star, so maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe I'd be fine with it. But it's like that jealousy a little bit.
Of course.
I'm sure you had that conversation.
We did. In a nutshell, started only because there was some financial turmoil within my extended family. And my sister, something, you know, happened very terrible to her. So I was helping out her family financially, and I wanted to be able to make sure she didn't lose her house and she was able to take care of her kids. So for me, I love sex, and I loved like adult. I watched porn all the time with my husband. So, you know, I never grew up and said, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a porn star. Like, that was not on my list of things to do, you know?
Yeah.
But when your family needs help and you know, there's not many people to help them, and you're close with them, and you don't want to see your nieces like suffer or go without, you know, you do what you do, and you do it because you want to do it. And that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I started webcamming, and I was like, wow, this is fun. And I'm making great money. I'm, you know, helping out my family. And then I did it for 3 months, and then started doing adults. So it wasn't really that hard of a decision. And I, you know, I feel good that I've helped people, like, have a better life. And yeah.
For sure.
So I like that.
So tell me about your first scene. Like, obviously you did webcam.
That's for a few months, but so different.
But like your first scene in the real stuff.
Okay.
Were you scared?
Oh my God, was I scared. So my first scene, like, really, like, I shouldn't even really count. I feel like my scenes at Kink weren't necessarily, because those were like...
Oh, wait, Kink was your first?
Mm-hmm. It was like one of my first.
Kink is...
It's pretty brutal, right?
It depends. I don't know. Some of the ones I've seen are intense. Yeah.
But I really love women. I mean, I really love men. But I love both, like, you know. But I feel like when I work with women, it's easy. Like, women who, I guess, know what they're doing, it's easier for, I'm more submissive by nature, though. It's just kind of who I am.
Okay.
People don't, you know, but a lot of my roles are very dominant, you know, with the younger guys and things, and younger girls. But,
True, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. So my kink scene was like, it was cool because I just had someone kind of bossing me around. Isis Love. Like, and I'm fine with that. A beautiful woman just telling me what to do. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't have much ego, so I was fine with that. So So that was really fun, but I was very nervous, but not so nervous because I was more nervous with when I went to the boy girl, because I knew that was like, okay, you're really getting into some like bigger stuff. Like, I mean, literally. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. So my first scene was with Manuel, and I thought, if I'm going to do boy girl, I want the best. I want the best experience possible, and I want the best. And he is definitely one of the best. So I was nervous, a little shaky. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about opening up to the camera. I did not know anything other than how I knew how to have sex at home. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I remember, you know, he talks French and he's very dominant and beautifully aggressive, like in a fucking amazing way. So I remember him. He thought I was being like too porno-y because I like to talk during sex, but that's how I have sex. Like, you know, I'm very verbal. I like to express what I like. I like to get in your head. I like to just make you excited. Like do all those things to like make my partner tick and feel good and just turn them on. So he's like, shh, no. Like, and I was like, oh, you know, so I kind of backed off my dirty talk. So then after he's like, oh, he goes, I thought maybe too much talking. He says too porno-y. And I said, I don't know how else to be. That's just how I have sex. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, you weren't doing it for the camera? I go, no, that's how I have sex. He's like, oh, okay. You know, and he was nice about it. But I think when they think that you're acting like something that you're not, it can be a turnoff for a guy. Yeah, and maybe it was. He never told me, but we've always had really good chemistry on camera. And now I have a really good relationship with him, like as a colleague and stuff.
For sure.
He's really sweet. So, and I admire him very much. He's one of my favorite male performers.
I think that's accurate. What he was like if it feels like she's like saying too much, not too, I don't want to say it like that.
Or like before the penis is inside her.
If it's like over the top, then it's just like, I know you're faking. So I appreciate the effort, but like it doesn't feel correct.
I get it.
So,
yeah.
But you're naturally
verbal. That's just
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's just
now. Fine. Do you if the guy is not verbal at all, does that bother
not
you?
At all. I'll continue just to do what I want.
Oh, okay.
To do. Yeah, just because.
Okay.
I like what I like, and I can't stop. It's like telling somebody who's been doing something their whole life, like, okay, now you have to change. Like if you were holding a baseball bat, and I guess this is a good analogy because when I started boxing, you know, for cardio. After I had played softball for so many years, the stance is completely opposite. You put your left foot forward and your right foot back when you're batting. In boxing, you put your left foot back, your right foot forward. So it was so hard for me to get that to switch it. And that's kind of how it was with, you know, kind of with porn. So I decided I'm not going to shut up and I'm just going to do it my way. And that's what I did.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and directors don't complain as long as they don't complain.
That's good. Oh, all right. This is a good leeway to the next question.
Okay.
So how much do they direct? And how much is natural?
Okay, so that all depends on the director.
Okay.
Okay, so when you're shooting with, and I don't like to name, like, you know, call people out.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to.
Because that's not my style. They know who they are.
Yeah.
Right? And that's okay. That's just their style. Like, some style, like Gonzo is what they refer to, is just kind of, you're going with it. There's not really a lot of starting and stopping. The directors aren't really worried about opening up our angles as much. You know, they know that, you know, that at this point, you know, you should know what you're doing, and they'll only stop you if they see something that they want changed or whatever. So it just depends on the director. It depends on the type of scene. It depends on so many different factors. But, you know, if you want a set for Wicked, it's very scripted. It's all scripted.
Okay.
You know, when you're on a Brazzers set, all scripted. You know, it's here's your script. We want these four positions. You have to do this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. You must do, because Brazzers is primarily a boob. Like, that is their main, you know, it's all boobs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so every time you work for Brazzers, you know, you have to showcase the boobs. It's all about the boobs. You know, but they do showcase the butt a lot or whatever, depending on the girl. So, so some directors will say, okay, this position, you know, and then like stop. So you have 5 minutes in one position, three minutes in another, stop. And then some will let you just go through straight through. They'll say, okay, we want one doggy, one, you know, reverse, one cowgirl, like whatever. So it just depends on director, depends on company.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that leads me to two more questions.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So you're helping me out here. Appreciate okay. it. I'm a good interviewer.
Yes, you are.
So first one would be then, mm-hmm. and if you're willing to share,
yeah,
which one do you like to shoot for the best then?
You know, that's a good question. In all honesty, it depends on my talent.
Oh, okay.
To be real. I mean, and I'm being
so if it's the one we were talking honest, about before, then whichever that one is.
So, like, if I'm really attracted to the talent and we have good chemistry or whatever, I want to go straight through because it seems more natural to me.
Okay.
If I'm maybe not so into the guy, I'm okay with stopping, you know? Yeah. Because mentally, sometimes I need to get back to my dirty place where I need to go to kind of continue.
Uh-huh. So, and that is the case sometimes.
Obviously. Sometimes, yeah. It just depends, you know? And for me, I understand a lot of the guys I'm with are not necessarily any guys I would ever sleep with in my personal life. I'm not maybe attracted to them. Mm-hmm. But for that time frame that I'm working, I have a job. And my job is to please my director. Mm-hmm. Make sure, you know, that they're happy with, you know, my performance and, you know, and just being professional, all those things. And to make sure my male talent is able to keep wood. I mean, it's not necessarily my job. He should be able to keep his stuff together. Yeah. But I understand sometimes, I know this is connected to this. So if he doesn't feel that I'm into him or attracted, it might mess with this, right?
That's true.
So goal is to be flirty, be fun, have a good time, and just kind of express to them, like, you know what, let's just have a great day, no expectations, you know, like, you know, because we already kind of know what's expected of us, what the director wants, you know? So I try to find something attractive, like an attractive quality that I can focus on. So when I'm in, you know, in a scene with them, you know, that I'm able to kind of like feed off of that, because at the end of the day, we are performers. We're hired to perform a sexual art, and and that's what we do.
Fair. So, okay, yeah. So the next one then is, on average, how much, now I know you said like it's different depending on the company, but like if you were to give an average, like how much of it is planned and natural?
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I feel like I'm ruining it for everybody.
I hope not.
Oh gosh.
Stop the interview
here. Right, plug your ears. Earmuffs.
Yeah, earmuffs.
You know, like how much of it is planned? Like when you mean the sex is planned?
Well, I mean, because you said like to stop like 3 minutes this style, 5 minutes this style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it mostly like that, or is it mostly like just go, have fun, and we'll cut it later?
Yeah, no. Most of it, I mean, I would say half and half. Like when you go, there's like an order of business, I guess.
Okay,
that's right. I like that. Yeah, you know, cool. what you would do would be like, okay, so we're gonna get through the dialogue first, you know, part of the dialogue and everything, you know, your scenes are all like, okay, this take, you need this. So they kind of go, you know, you have something to follow. And generally a lot of guys like to do the sex stills. So you like sex pictures. Before. So generally you do the sex stills in the order that you'll have sex on camera. So that way you have an idea. Okay, we did this first, we did doggy first, and now we're going to go, I'm going to do cowgirl, and then now you're going to do a side spoon, and now we're going to finish in mish. So the nice thing is when you kind of do that through sex stills, you can get an idea. The director knows, okay, you know, here's lighting, you're going to open up this way, but I don't want you to go here. So you have an idea, but you're always, no matter how into it you are, to be professional, professional and be good at it, you have to always remember, no matter how good it feels, I have to open up. I have to pay attention to my light. I have to pay attention. There's your peripheral view. You have to know sometimes the director will go like this. That means, okay, next position, you know, do this or whatever. So it's like you're always, you're there, you're in the moment, and you're trying to enjoy it the best you can, because obviously we all love sex or we wouldn't be there. But at the end of the day, you're never truly in the moment because you have other factors to worry about. But most of the time, you know, I guess half and half. Maybe 60, 40, 70. It just depends, you know.
Okay.
Because I haven't worked with every single company. I can only speak with my experience and then like the directors and stuff that I've worked with. But most of the time, they'll let you go straight through. Unless, you know, you have your particular directors. It just depends. Okay. It just depends. I mean,
that's
I guess
yeah, no,
I would say
different.
There's more that allow you to go through than not, but it depends on the script. It just depends.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I have another one. Of
go
course.
For it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then what is the percentage of mm-hmm. like how often are you truly orgasming
oh, yeah.
in a scene, and how often is it? Because obviously, yeah. no matter what, at the end of the scene, we have to, the viewer has to believe that
yeah.
you orgasm. So how often is it real, and how you often know, is it not real?
It depends. I generally I'm to a point in my life where I know what I need to do to get myself there.
Okay. Yeah. So that's for me. Real.
Most of the time, I do. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, but there is like 10% of the time where I'm.
You just can't.
I can't.
It just doesn't work.
And for whatever reason, it yeah. just, I can't. And you know, and that's okay, because in all honesty, whether I do or whether I don't, it's a non-issue. It's not. True, I need agree. To put on a great performance that people enjoy to watch. You know, and at the end of the day, that's it. It has to be believable. You know, sure. However, because I enjoy sex, I do try to get the most out of it, and I'm a little bit greedy. So I sometimes say mean things to people, like, fuck you, like if they move, and I don't mean to, and, you know, because it's like, I'm right there, and then you moved.
Yeah.
Kind of, but anyway, but I'm just, or if it feels so good, I'm just like, I'm pissed at you that you actually made it feel this good. Like, I don't like that sometimes. Like, cause it's like you got one over on me, yeah. you know, so that type of thing. But for me, most of the time I can, because I know my body, you know, and I've played with it enough.
Yeah, sure.
In the past 3 days. I mean, in my life.
3 days. That's fair.
So, yeah.
So, okay. So then, was it a little different in the beginning when you first started out?
It was.
Like,
I had a hard time to kind of get there because,
yeah, because, like,
yeah,
oh, actually,
but a lot of times they'll tell you, okay, orgasm, so they make you like fake orgasm,
yeah,
you know, so it's like, damn, even if I wanted to, sometimes I don't have time to because I have to switch positions or we're losing daylight or you know, so
gotcha. Mm-hmm. How many people are typically on a set? Like filming, like how many people are you having sex in front of?
It depends, you know, again, like today it was 1, 2, 4 people, but that's not so bad. That's not a lot. Some days there's only 2 people.
That's fair.
And that's totally fine. And some people, some
that's
days,
like friends.
Yeah, it's like, and some days there's like 6, you know, if it's a feature or something, you know, because there's a lot of people around, you know, but for the most part, it's not like what it used to be. Why? Because they're not producing as many movies like they used to be. The budgets are a lot less, therefore they employ a lot less people, so that's one person doing many jobs now.
Okay,
so it's I know it's a lot less prestigious, if it ever was, I guess, or less, I don't know, glamorous than it was back in the day when it were they had craft services and they had, you know, like you know, like it's just, you know what I mean, it was different back in the 90s and the early 2000s. You know, it was like there were only a select group of performers. Everybody knew each other. Now it's oversaturated. The internet's kind of killed killed the industry, although it's helped the girl. I wouldn't say it's helped the girls. It's, yeah, in a way it kind of has. It has. Absolutely.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I shouldn't complain.
So let's dive into the business part of it a little bit. So like, it is, I mean, okay, so for most people, it's just free. You know what I mean?
Right.
For the viewers, because you have all those websites, that's just free.
Yes, for sure.
And then, I mean, browsers cost some money, right? If you want to, like, join the site, and then I'm sure there's some other ones that do. But, so, like, how, and you don't have to get into exact numbers, whatever you're comfortable with, but, like, how is, you're getting paid at the scene? Like for a scene, but
so
you're
like
not
a
getting
per
paid.
Diem rate.
And then the producer, though, he's getting paid per view or something, or how?
Okay, so
or it's all different.
You know, I don't know specifics of Pornhub. What I do know about them, is that Pornhub
or advertisers
and browsers,
I guess,
Reality Kings, Twisties, are all the same. They are owned by
no way
Manwin, which owns 40% of the adult industry.
They're all owned by the same person?
Yes.
Okay, my mind's blown a little bit. Go ahead.
So,
I didn't know.
If you can't beat them, then you should join them, unfortunately, because you are not going to win or you are not going to, I'm not going to be able to buy 40% of the business.
No way.
There's just no way. There's not enough money. So, so in all honesty, like, what it has done, it has put a lot of the smaller companies out of business.
Okay.
because a lot of the everything is now online. So, I mean, it's good and bad. Like I said, though, it's kind of given more power to the performers because, yeah. Okay, so there's less jobs available. The internet is now a huge avenue for people to watch porn. So the OnlyFans, the Fan Central, you know, so there's
you
different.
Do your own thing.
Yes.
Let's talk about that then. Let's
Which is great.
What is that?
Okay, so OnlyFans is a platform where the performer can upload any type of content that they want, okay, mm-hmm. sexual, PG, whatever, and then they have people or subscriptions. So mine's $4.99. Why $4.99? People say, don't you think you're worth more than $4.99? Absolutely. However, most people, $4.99.
Oh,
they can subscribe for 1 month for $4.99. Okay.
I think that is a good deal.
And I am worth, however, I have to think, my demographic is 19 to 34. I have a lot of college kids.
Really?
Most people can afford $5 a month, right?
Yeah.
So they get to kind of see some sexy pics, BTS, and just whatever. And I have 3,300 fans on that for $4.99, reoccurring every month, which is wonderful, right? Yeah. However, for those who want a little bit more, if you want to talk to me, I do text, and my time is not free because I'm busy. And if you're taking me away to chat with me, I'm losing money in another area.
For sure.
So I will chat with fans. I will do custom videos. Like, I just got a list of things that I need to do. I do panties. I do video shout outs. I do all kinds of like cool things. And for me, I could probably not film and continue to do that and have a really good living. And
for sure. 100%. Well, just from that.
Which is nice. So I'm grateful. However, I'm not greedy, but I don't want to just put all my eggs in one basket. So that's why I like to feature dance. I like to, go out to conventions to promote my toy. I like to do this other cool project, which I'm so excited about. Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm excited for you too.
And then being like part of my OnlyFans, like they're the first ones that are going to know about my project, which is cool. Like they get like special little things, you know? So I like it. So that platform has really helped, I think, a lot of the performers be able to kind of do their own content, and it's more realistic and it's a lot more affordable for a lot more people. So yeah, it's just like my avenue to kind of, make money and do what you like.
So I only have a couple more questions, and then I'll let you.
Okay.
Okay. So my next one is somebody getting started in porn. If you were to give some advice.
That's part of my project.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. And I met a girl today. She's really sweet.
We're getting a sneak peek.
She's really sweet. She was an extra on set today, and she was getting started. And I don't know what it is. Like, when I meet somebody and they're new, and I feel like they're genuine and that they're really wanting to like do well, I feel compelled to help them for whatever reason. Mother hen, nurse, former nurse, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, so I like to just kind of help them, like, oh, do this, this really helps if you do that, or like here, she's like, I only have 6,000 followers. She's like, come on, let's do a tweet. I'll tweet, and then hopefully you'll get some followers, and things like that. But I forgot your question. I started talking all over.
I know, it's fine.
Oh, but like it getting in the business, I feel like when girls come, they reach out to our agency and they're 18 and they say, I want to do it. And I look at them as that's somebody's child. Okay. They're 18. Like when I was 18, I don't know what the hell I was doing in life. Like, well, I kind of did actually. I had a plan, but a lot of these girls don't, right? And that's okay, right? Yeah. So I always tell them, I'm like, you really need to think about this. Like, is this something you really want to do? Because if you do, you have to understand everybody will find out. You will be judged, you will be ridiculed, you'll be, people are going to come down hard on you. So if this is something that you're willing to risk, and you might not, it never goes away, is what they tell them. So I, in all honesty, I try to steer a lot of the young girls away because I want them to realize the consequences of their actions, and I would want someone to do that for my daughter, my son, really like plant that in their head. It's not what people think. People think like that I just got up one day and everything happened and it was that easy. Like, and for some of the other girls too, like some of the very successful girls, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't. We've gone through some shit. Like we have, we've paid our dues, we've worked our asses off, you know, yeah. and that's, and it's not, you know, it's not easy. And I'm not saying, oh, poor me, but I knew what I was up against and you have to get through that and you have to have thick skin and know you can't take it back. So I try to like educate girls to let them know and say, hey, if you wanted to do something else in your life, like that will haunt you. You may be yeah. prevented from getting a job, you know? So you have to really think about that. Really think about it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so either you're all in or you're
yeah,
all out.
Yeah, you're 100%.
Okay.
So.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So that it did pop up another question. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Don't be sorry.
So
you're
have
dead.
A sip. Yeah. No. And then just give me like a yeah. double wink when you're like, yeah.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
More.
You're fine.
But it's just more okay. questions are coming up. So, okay. So my next one, because mm-hmm. you just shared that, is like, can you share like, okay. So there was a time when you chose
yeah.
I'm doing this.
Yeah. I know the exact time.
Okay. So I'd love to hear about that. But then right after you chose, what, like you went through a difficult time, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Because
people in your inner circle found out, 100%. And then there was pushback. So what was that like, and how did you overcome
that? Yeah. You know, in all honesty, okay. So when I took the plunge to do it, it was March 2012. I did my first girl, right? And then June 2012, I shot my scene for Jules Jordan with Manuel. Okay. So after I shot my scene and it came out that summer. My husband and I went to a friend's wedding in Jamaica. As soon as we got back, her phone was blowing up because the internet, right? And I'm naive. We never watched porn on the internet then. It was all DVD. Like we went to the sex store, yeah. So I was like, okay, people probably won't find out. I can continue to be a nurse and just like make money for my family. Everything's gonna be fine. Naive, okay? Anyway. So I get all these phone calls and I was like, oh shit, everybody knows. I was like, it's probably time that we tell our parents, you know? So we did. I was like, I'm going to tell my mom because
they're
I don't want her to
anyway.
Fight. Yeah. Like so. I don't want them. So we did. And, you know, my husband was like, well, you know, well, we either at this point, we're at a point where we know you can't take it back. He said, we either go all in or we go in. He goes, I forgot. Let me remember how he said it.
Yeah.
We're all in, or like you're going hard in the paint necessarily, or you're not.
That's hard in the
like,
paint.
Like let's
that.
Make a decision. Yeah. And I was like, are we in? He's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, are you okay? He's like, I'm 100% okay. I'm support you 100%. Like not my, his love is, and my love, like it doesn't change. Love is unconditional. Like I
that's the right kind of
love him.
I think.
No, he drives me crazy when he chews with his mouth open. So I mean, look at him. I go, seriously, you need to finish that right now. Or he said to me the other day, I was eating like this coleslaw stuff or something. He's like, you're really crunching. I'm like, seriously. I'm like, well, you never had the house this quiet. Maybe I crunch like this all the time, you know? And I was, and we're just laughing because it's like, we can call each other out. We constantly. My house is like constant pranks. I have Nerf guns. I've got the automatic ones because I love to just prank and like, you know, get him and just, I love it. I love to just play games and like throw stuff and just goof around. Like just, it's fun. Like life's too short not to have fun. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it. Scare him all the time. Like scare his ass. He'll sneak up on me. So it's like, you know, I said, you're up. I locked him in the bathroom one time. I said, what the hell are you doing? He was, you know, in the, whatever he wanted. He was so insistent upon having like a big toilet in our master bathroom. He's like, well, what if we take a big dump? Like, sorry. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. He's like, I'm a dude. He's like, I want these little ass toilets. What if I clog that up? I was like, do you want a big toilet? He's like, I do. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to win some wars. You want it?
Yeah,
that's your bathroom. That's fine. That's where he goes. Like I have my own separate little bathroom where I go, you know, cause I don't talk about that. But anyway,
well, girls don't
yeah,
poop,
right? So he's in there one day and you know, there's like a little vent and I put like the little soft rug, like when you, the like memory foam when you got the shower, like stuffed it under the door and he's trying to go. He's like, Michelle, that's really, anyway, they know, people are going to know anyway. He's like, Michelle, like, and I'm just recording him laughing my ass off. Like we just, you have to like,
wait, I actually did not know that. You're really,
it's okay. Michelle. Yeah. It's all over the freaking internet.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay.
I guess I didn't search you well enough.
Yeah. It's okay. Oh, well, my attorney did take down my Wikipedia page. I said, I said, Jim, I need this off of my page. Yeah. Or I need Wikipedia gone. He goes, really? He goes, most girls want the Wikipedia. I'm like, I have nothing left to prove. Get rid of it. So I did get rid of the Wikipedia because I don't really give two shits.
No.
Yeah. I'm over it.
You're already killing it.
I mean, I'm okay with, I think you get to a point in life where it's like, you just, you know who you are. You don't have anything to prove. You want to have a good financial future, be healthy, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, enjoy your life.
The financial part is important, but
hell yeah, it
once
is.
You have it, then there's more to it.
Yes,
than that.
Then you like
it's not
really,
all that.
It's not like it
because
does.
That leads to an emptiness.
It does. You can have all the money, but if you're sick and you can't enjoy family, or you have you're a damn Grinch and like nobody wants to be your friend. How can you enjoy life?
Agreed.
Right? Don't be a jerk.
So that leads perfectly into the next one.
Right? The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I love the Grinch. I love the Grinch. The cute ones. Love it. Like the, with the, I forgot her little name. The little
Me too.
Cute girl.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, she's so cute.
But I know what you're talking about. So, in your opinion, what is the key to happiness?
It is a deep one. But you know what? There isn't just one answer. There isn't. I think it's all relative to somebody's situation, right? Okay. Somebody living in Jamaica who doesn't relatively poor country. Their key to happiness may be just having food on the table every night, not having to work two jobs to take care of the family. What makes you happy might not make me happy. Yeah. So I really think it's relative to everyone's situation. But I think there is one common thing, like among humans, as a whole, I think we all believe that health is very important. If you don't have, health, or if you don't have some sort of a sense of family, people a good support, people that love you and you can confide in, and those things are important, human connection, that is very important. So, I think, health and family are very, very important. Without those things, nothing else really matters. Like, really? You can have all the money in the world, but if you have no one to share it with, it's kind of empty. Yeah, kind of shitty. I remember I was a hospice nurse the last couple of years that I take that back, though. Like, fifth and sixth year that I was a nurse, going into the seventh, I took care of patients. And I remember taking care of this patient. His name was David. He had this beautiful house on the water. I'll make this short and sweet. He worked every single day of his life. He never missed a day of work, okay? Because he was determined he was gonna retire, when he was 50. Well, when he turned 50, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So he neglected a lot of his family, neglected a lot of his friends, and he worked. So I guess my point being is you can have all the money in the world, and he had a shit ton of money, but he had nobody to leave it to. He didn't have a girlfriend. I mean, he was seeing somebody, but nothing significant. He had no children, and it's just I was sad for him because, he worked his whole life to be able to retire and just whatever and enjoy life. And he never got that chance. So I think a part of the key to happiness is balance. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, but health and family. So that was a long answer.
No, it was the right answer.
For sure.
So my last one for you.
Okay.
Is there any question you feel like I didn't ask that I should have asked?
No, I think you're great. I think, whatever you wanted to ask me.
It was all natural.
Yeah, and I'm pretty transparent.
I agree.
I mean.
Or is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes.
Okay.
One very, very important
point. Please.
I mean, it's just a statement, and I'll put this out in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, a book coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out. What I do does not define who I am. So I am not just a sex object. I am not just somebody who has sex all day, every day. I'm a very highly sexual individual, but that's a very small part of me. And part of the book, I want to kind of humanize what we do as performers, because everybody, and well, most people enjoy sex. I think some people don't, maybe because there was just some sort of trauma, or they're not mentally healthy or whatever. I mean, but a lot of people who've had healthy sexual relationships enjoy sex. And I do too. And I feel like there's nothing to be ashamed of. We should all be sex positive, whether you're a man or a woman. But at the end of the day, I am not just a porn star, like, or a porn chick. Like, that's just not who I am. There is so much more to me. And I really don't have anything to, like, I don't care. But I think sometimes, I don't know, maybe I do have some ambivalence or some internal conflict with what I do, and it's not really surfaced. But I just want people to know that there's more to me, and so much more exciting things to me, like, than Kendra. Like, you know, I'm kind of a nerd.
Well,
and
there's Michelle.
Yeah, and like, that's cool. Like, I'm really good with her. So
yeah,
that's it.
So before we sign off,
yes,
because now I'm curious.
Yes.
Would you tell us more about Michelle?
Yes, that would be for another episode.
Yeah. Da, da, da.
Another episode. Dot, dot, dot. But yeah, so.
Should we make it for another one?
Yeah.
Next time you're in Miami.
Yeah, right?
I'll be here. I live here.
Yeah,
so.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I very much
appreciate
it. I'm
so glad it worked out.
Yes, me too.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Awesome.